Yes, this is the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, but we are taking a break from reviewing Degrassi episodes. We're going to shift our focus to my so-called life over the next few months. We hope you'll stick around for this journey. If you want to touch base with us, all of the same social media, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, and narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. If you want to talk to us about my so-called life or come on to an episode, please let us know. We will get back to Degrassi episodes after we're done reviewing my so-called life in a few months. Don't fear, though, if you're missing that content, we've got well over 150 episodes of Degrassi reviews for you. Head over to anywhere where you listen to your podcasts and go back into our history. Hope you enjoy them, and hopefully you'll enjoy our reviews of my so-called life. Let's do it.
To go to wait for Narbos and Broomheads. It's time for another awesome episode of Narbos and Broomheads. Let's talk about Degrassi. Let's talk about Claire Danes, Alan, Ted, and Barry, Courtney, Arlo, Tim. Bam, 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 bam. Narbos and Broomheads.
Wow.
Jazz hands.
Applause, applause, applause.
Applause, well done.
Money thrown well on the stage. Done. Wedding proposals. Well,
here's my underwear.
I smell a hit.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of your favorite podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. Today, we are going to be talking about episode 14 in our quick side foray into my so-called life. And welcome. We're glad to have you here. And we've got our my punk band comrades with us today. Let's see who we have. Let's check out over in Toronto.
Oh, I'm Alan Ramone. Hi, everyone. my second favorite Ramone after Razor. I have nothing to say. I'm moving. There's more echo here because I am in a much emptier room than usual. You'll just have to live with it. I'm going to pass it down to Oakville.
Hey, Tim here. I must say that our family took a nice little tour through Flu Central this past week.
Oh, no.
So we were hit like a pile driver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, lots of wonderful sounds, as my dad would have affectionately called when we were younger, the backdoor trots. And
oh, no.
So we're over it. We're over it. But the tally went up to I led the team with a 8 pounds loss of weight for it. So yay,
wow.
Yay flu.
That's lovely. 8 pounds of poo.
Wonderful. Podcast world, you're welcome. And let's throw it deep out east to Teddy Boy.
Hey. I was hoping nobody'd pick Dee Dee Ramone, but not when Dee Dee Ramone was in the Ramones, when he put out that beautiful rap album, which is a classic.
Uh-huh.
My name is Dee Dee, and I'm here to say, yeah, it was fantastic. Look it up. Look up Dee Dee Ramone raps, if you will. He's got the gold chains on and everything, but still the leather jacket. It's fantastic. Music
next
at its
on Super Hits Podcast.
Yeah, I believe that's he was spoken of, either that or the mezzanine sleepover. I can't remember.
Yeah, and they're all dead. All the Ramones are dead.
Oh, geez, they are too.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Is leaving. Every single one of them now?
I think yes. So, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, starting out on that bright note, I'm Ted. Hello. I'm on the show today. How are you? I'm good. I've did the thing that I'm doing Fridays, and I think I'm stopping now. I tend to eat on Fridays like I'm going to a 10-year-old's birthday party. So a couple of weeks ago, I had like I had vegan hot dogs and chips, and today I had pizza and chips. So like I went from a 10-year-old's birthday party to to probably like a teenager's birthday party. But now I feel like I've been hit with many sticks. I'm not feeling the greatest. I'm like, ugh. So I eat pretty good during the week, but this is like just, I'm a garbage man. I'm
Teddy,
made of garbage
and
I eat garbage.
You also ate a McCain Deep and Delicious cake.
Oh, yeah. That was a couple of weeks ago. Now, I don't really regret that, but if you cut too big of a slice, you're like, you're gonna feel it. But it's good, you know, it's good when you eat it. But I guess that's everything, really.
Well, and did you get the coconut one? That's what inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, of course. So the coconut vanilla one, just in case McCain's listening, Mr. McCain, Mrs. McCain, you're listening.
We're off for sponsorship.
Good eating. So,
code Narbos and Broomheads on your next.
Yeah. Yeah. Use that code and see what happens.
Yeah.
See what kind of discount you got.
I'm not sure that we talked about McCain cakes on this podcast previously, but for anyone who doesn't live in Canada, there are these pre-made cakes that you can get in the freezer section. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of amazing.
They're not fancy. Like, it's a tinfoil tray, kind of like what you would put pasta in if you were taking it out, but it's filled with cake, one layer of cake, one relatively thin but highly effective layer of icing.
Gets the job done.
Yeah. It's a treasure.
Yeah.
And for years, my favorite was the chocolate one, and then they came out with the coconut one, and I quickly switched allegiance.
Yeah. And like, you know, if you want to be a princess, you can cut slices of that cake out and put it on a plate and eat it. Or you can just, you and your friends can just grab some forks and dig it right out of the tinfoil.
Yes. Oh, yes.
A plate. Excuse me, your majesty.
Well, I realize that I didn't introduce myself. I'm Arlo, coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And in my health news, through a comedy of errors, I wasn't able to refill my prescription this week. So I'm about 4 days into withdrawals of my my antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. So I'm doing okay, but I feel kind of high. So if I seem a little out of it at all today, I apologize. I did get my prescription filled today, so I'm back on the wagon, as it were.
Oh.
Yes, but they need to sort of kick in still. So if I seem a little off today, that would be why. So I apologize.
Okay.
See, listeners, how far Arlo will go as a host. She, just to fit with the title, she goes off the meds and she's going back on to get off the wagon 4 days ago. And now
it was
on
the
wagon.
Purpose so that I would have something
a method
topical
podcaster
to talk about. Yes, that's right.
Just hope you all appreciate it out there.
But yes, this episode is called On the Wagon. Did anybody look up where sort of the etymology of that phrase came from?
I bet you did.
Just me?
Uh-huh.
People disagree on it. There's some controversy about where it comes from. One of the more popular ones that people cite is that prisoners who were on their way to jail on the back of like a wagon in like the Middle Ages were allowed one last drink at a local tavern before being shipped off to prison, where they would have to abstain from alcohol. Sometimes the variation is that it was death row, but this has been completely debunked, basically, because at that time there wasn't a lot of sympathy for prisoners. You know, they would like parade them through the, like, shame and like parade them through the streets, and you know, hangings and things like that were like big, you know, celebrations and things like that. So they didn't really have a lot of sympathy, and they wouldn't have had them stop at a pub. And also the first written account of this term wasn't until 1901. It's also been suggested that at what point the Salvation Army would, or churches would, drive carts around picking up drunks to take them back to the mission or to the church for their salvation. So if you were on the wagon, you were on the way to conquer your sins or whatever. But the two most widely accepted explanations, the first one is that it refers to water wagons that used to be in use. And these were horse-drawn wagons that were filled with water, and they would spray the unpaved streets to keep the dust down. And they still do that at Burning Man, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
You still do that if you are living on a gravel road, which I experienced growing up.
Not with horses, though.
Probably not.
Not that I saw. Actual trucks now. But anyway, so basically the thought was if you were on the water wagon, you were drinking water and not alcohol. And this was eventually just shortened to wagon. And the other sort of more widely accepted one that I found was that it just related to being on the bandwagon. And eventually it was sort of shortened to wagon. And the phrase on the bandwagon, now that itself exists because of what politicians who used to go around stumping for votes, part of their campaigns, they'd parade through the streets with festooned wagons. With musical bands playing loudly, and when a local office holder or, you know, citizens of prominence were looking to publicly endorse those candidates, they would make a big show of jumping onto the bandwagon and waving to the crowd to endorse that candidate. Mm. So those are the possibilities of where it came from, and the most widely accepted one is the water wagon or possibly the bandwagon. So,
well, holy crap, anyway. NPR. Good job.
Yeah.
Vito.
So this episode aired December 8th, 1994. It was directed by Jeff Perry, who plays Mr. Katimsky.
Oh, yeah.
And also the writer was Winnie Holtzman, of course, the creator, and Elizabeth Gill. So do we want to jump right in?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's jump on. All right. So Rayanne is in the guidance counselor's office. The guidance counselor is Ms. Kronowski, who I guess was also their English teacher for a time or what have you. But anyway, Ms. K. Rayanne has been sober for 33 days. And then we cut to the hall. We get Angela's inner monologue that she and Jordan have broken up, but they're still clearly friendly. He's looking pensive, like he's thinking hard about something. You can see the wheels turning. And she is wishfully imagining that he'll say all kinds of romantic things to her, of course, but instead he just starts to bitch about Tino.
This is...
And there we have that juxtaposition of the teenage girl's mind and the teenage, well, or adult male's mind in this guy's case, but male's mind too.
This is... I think relatively common, not all the time, but where you break up with somebody, but you kind of don't. You just, like, there's just a shift in whatever you had. And because they're officially, I think, broken up. Angela acknowledges that. And they aren't, you know, fooling around over the course of this episode, but they're still a thing, right? Like, you're still clinging on. You're still clinging on to that, like, me and that person kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think partially, like, their relationship has changed a little bit too. You know, like, Angela's maybe gained a little bit more power in this relationship because she was able to tell Jordan how she felt at a certain point. Sort of a little bit. So their relationship in some ways is evolving into whatever it's going to be, I guess.
But I don't think Jordan's character ever really gets hung up on this stuff. Like, if what we learned was he really wanted sex last episode, he's going to be able to find that somewhere else. So maybe he's just not, doesn't throw him. He's like, all right, come talk to me. I don't care.
I think if Jordan Catalano has one more thought, his skull is going to implode and his brains is going to leak out his ear. Like, he doesn't have time. He doesn't have a hard drive to think about one other thought about the relationship with Angela. No, sir. No, thank you. Not today. Not today.
Tino.
So back in Ms. K's office, she's trying to reach out to Rayanne and make sure that she has a support system in place, since Rayanne is electing not to continue their sessions from this point. And Rayanne is basically blowing it off, making it seem like it's not a big deal. Rayanne thinks her friends are an adequate support system.
Question for the group. Sorry, Ted, you might be able to answer this the best because of your line of work. Now, a student in high school who is under 18, who is now doing therapy sessions in school, would she be allowed to just stop going to them without parents sort of paying this, do you think? Because I wouldn't think so, but I don't know.
I would say, like, I haven't – I don't know too much. Well, I know a bit, but it's – I think it will be okay because it will be between the student and the counselor. They really didn't feel like you can't have can, but there is a place in the world that you have it. But to have like mandated counseling would be not a great idea because it kind of goes against the grain of the whole thing. Also, this counselor said not so good because she I don't know if she's joking, but she said, "Oh, you might be orally fixated." It's yeah, like that's that is such an ancient, outdated thing. Like you wouldn't say that. It's such a, but I know it's a show, but you wouldn't say that. Nobody serious would say that. Like that's not a thing. That's anyways. I'm like,
I think also when you're talking about like with the parents or whatnot, like I could see Amber just signing off on it, right?
Well, I guess in this case, yeah, come on. Like,
yeah.
I guess fair.
She doesn't know what it is. She's like, this
she's
is my
still sleeping.
Bill from the bar last night. Yeah, sure. Here you go. Get out of my face. I'm so hungover.
So Rand thinks that her friends are going to be an adequate enough support system, but we do learn that she and Ms. K have been talking about how Rand and Angela have been growing apart a little bit.
So we've seen this, right? And this is the first time where it's being acknowledged openly that there's distance happening there. Rayanne, of course, thinks it's because of Angela's relationship with Jordan, which certainly plays some into that. But also, it might be this incident that took place where, again, what was it, 4 or 5 episodes ago, Rayanne basically OD'd. I mean, she gave herself alcohol poisoning, right? And Angela's mom
was on drugs too, so I don't know exactly what.
To me, it felt like ODing more so than alcohol poisoning, but yeah, whatever.
But yes, you're absolutely right. Like the last few episodes, like Rayanne hasn't really been around that much, but it hasn't really been named until this episode that there's some kind of tension there.
Yeah.
So out in the hall, Ricky and Rayanne looking over an AA pamphlet that Rayanne has. And Rayanne is complaining that Ms. K is too sensitive. She says Angela is the one who needs therapy because of her fucked up relationship with Jordan. And then we cut to Angela and Jordan hanging out outside. And Jordan is still talking about Tino. And we find out that Tino quit the band, and that means that he potentially took the name Frozen Embryos with him.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yes.
I have noted that Jordan Catalano, sad/mad. That's how he's feeling.
Uh-huh.
And the two are fighting in his brain.
So Ran approaches Jordan and Angela. And Jordan immediately takes off.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with Rayanne.
No.
Yeah. Not yet.
No, he really doesn't.
Uh-huh. Give it time.
I get it, right? Like, I think we've all had that friend who is another friend, and sometimes you're like, oh, fuck. You brought, like, them again, whether it's her or him. Like, really? Come on.
Well,
I don't even want to see you that much right now.
Yeah, and in this case, Rayanne inserts herself into the conversation, and Jordan's having none of it.
Well, Jordan takes off, and it's clear that Angela isn't that thrilled about it either.
Yeah.
But, Angela ends up filling in Rayanne about Tino quitting the band. It's a little bit awkward. Rayanne kind of brings up that they haven't been hanging out in a roundabout kind of way. And Angela invites her to come over after school.
If that's okay with patty cake.
Yeah, patty cake.
She says, it's like, okay, settle down, Rayanne. Settle down.
So after school, Rayanne makes it to the Chase's house before Angela and apparently is passing the time cooking with Graham.
Graham's like, this is what I'm going to make in my restaurant. I'm a chef now.
I'm a chef now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Come
so
on, Arlo.
Angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a root club. You can do it. He likes to cook at home, Arlo. He
it's
likes
the same
to cook
thing,
at home.
Arlo. Same thing.
Yeah.
Equal hand and glove.
He's like, you're doing so well, Rayanne. You can also be a chef at the restaurant.
Would you like to be my sous chef?
You should. Patty arrives at home. And what the fuck is wrong with her? She pointedly asks Rayanne like passive aggressively if she wants something to drink, like a soda.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Like,
can we just this episode? She has such a stick up her ass.
Uh-huh. Yes. So far up a high horse in this fucking thing.
Oh my god. Like a soda, specific. Like she was gonna. What? How old is Rayanne? 15? 16?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to? Do you want a beer? Yeah, sure. You want a few shots? Like, come on.
But after that passive aggressiveness, Patty kind of warms up a little bit more. She's happy to hear that Rayanne has been sober for over a month. Danielle gets home, and Rayanne is watching as the three Chases act like an adorable, happy family together. And Patty invites Rayanne.
Which up to this point in this show has never happened. Right? Nothing in the show shows them as being like this loving group that is sharing things. And, you know, usually Patty's pissed and Graham's cowering in a corner. Angela's, you know, running out the door. But I don't know if we're trying to see, is this like really what they're doing? Or is this framed picture of what Rayanne sees as this perfect family? Because she's loving being there. You can tell.
Yeah.
It's filling a hole that she's missing in her life. Or like a continuity that she's missing in her life. But it's crazy because this has never happened in the show yet.
They're all like laughing and playing with chocolate sauce.
Yeah, like putting on each other's noses.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was going to say, Arlo, would you suggest that 10-year-old child run over to a stove with a simmering, almost boiling pan of chocolate? Of sugar? Like,
it's okay. She's child wearing an old
grab a big mouthful.
I would not suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She's got a hockey helmet on. It's okay. Uh-huh. Stupid red helmet she's wearing for some reason.
But yeah, Rayanne gets this snapshot of this happy, you know, nuclear family kind of situation. Patty invites Rayanne to stay for dinner, but Rayanne says she's got to go. Her mom is making dinner. And after she leaves, Patty complains that Rayanne never thanked her for saving her fucking life.
Yeah. That fucking bitch. Never, never. Yeah. Like, come on.
How dare that troubled child.
Uh-huh.
Fuck.
Such a selfish girl.
Although, funny enough, when I was in university, maybe about my third year in university, I was walking to one of my classes, and at Western, like, there's universities that have closed campuses and stuff, but Western's a fairly big size campus. Western University, which is in London, Ontario, has roads that go through it. So I remember this was pretty early on when iPods first came out. So there was a girl walking in front of me who had an iPod and her headphones in, and she was not paying attention, and she decided to cross the road. And I was kind of behind her and just sort of paying attention. And she didn't see that a car was going to go through like a yellow light. So I grabbed her by her backpack and pulled her back so she didn't get hit. Legitimately, she would have been hit. And she looked at me and then looked away and continued to walk on. And I thought, this bitch didn't even say thank you to me. I should have shoved her instead of pulling her back. So part of me gets it. I might have saved this girl's life. And she didn't have the decency to even smile at me for doing it. I was like, man.
When I was probably like 14 years old, I was at the old Winnipeg Arena going to the upper deck, and there was no, like, you know, upper, middle, top level. It was either like lower deck, upper deck. So the escalator was like twice the length of a normal escalator, and it was not running. And so people were walking up the escalator, and there was this old woman right in front of me. And when we were like 4 or 5 steps from the top, a fucking attendant started the escalator. and the woman fell like directly like backwards, like,
oh jeez,
yeah, like, oh, doing the full nesty plunge, and I stopped her because she would have gone all the way down, and I stopped her and propped her back up. She didn't even turn around and look at me. Bitch walked away. I was like, you're such a Rayanne. That's what I thought.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys are all as bad as Patty then, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at Rayanne here. Like, the thing is like, she's 15 or 16, you know, as we know, or we will find out from this episode and whatnot, at least at this point, she isn't really acknowledging anything that happened.
Right.
You know, her way to deal with it is to make jokes about it. You know, she doesn't seem to acknowledge the seriousness of the situation. So, like, her going to Patty in a serious way and being like, yo, like, this was really scary, and like, all, like, thank you for saving my life. Like, that's like, that would be an admission for her that it was serious. So, like, at least at this part of the episode, like, she's not ready for that at all.
Either that, or she's like, it's humiliating too, right? Like, you could be embarrassed that it happened, and so it's hard. Sure. It's hard to acknowledge, like, this this really bad thing happened, and I have some responsibility for it. Like, that's a hard thing to do too.
Well, for a kid to be like, hey, grown up that I don't know that well, I really fucked up. Like,
yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, back at home, Ryan is watching Sesame Street.
Okay, I have to talk about this clip. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Please do.
All right. So the clip that she's watching, it's Bert and Ernie. So for our younger listeners, I mean, everybody's watched Sesame Street, right? Like, even if you're a little kid, I don't know. I would assume you've watched. But Bert and Ernie are two Muppets, and they're roommates. They sleep in the same bedroom, and they each have their own separate beds. Way back in an early episode of this podcast, we used to joke that Ted and Barry had the same sleeping arrangements.
What do you mean, joke?
Yeah. So this particular clip, the part that's starting here is Ernie can't fall asleep, so Bert is encouraging Ernie to count sheep to get to sleep. And then the part that we don't see is that Ernie then breaks into song where he's playing, like, a trumpet, and there are actual, like, Muppet sheep that end up coming in, and they're doing, like, a whole song and dance routine.
Yes.
And the clip ends with the sheep picking up Bert's bed and taking him outside, and then you just see super upset Bert in the window looking inside his home.
Pissed.
When I was a kid, this was so upsetting to me. I hated this clip. It bothered me so much. I'm like, let him into his house. So
Bert was always pissed because he was always like, if I didn't have to keep you around to pay rent, to split the rent, I wouldn't keep you around, because Ernie was always fucking everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, this, I saw this clip and it triggers me as a 44-year-old man. I'm like,
oh wow.
Brings me back. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting things. I mean, you know, Courtney cried every time the littlest hobo went away, and Alan cried when Ernie brought in the trumpet and the sheep, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, on Sesame Street, they have certain clips that they replay over and over again, right? So when started, eventually I was like, I can't watch this.
I can't. This, I can't.
Yeah.
Well, Amber is distinctly not making dinner. She is making herself a margarita.
I don't know if you ever saw Kill Bill, you know, Kill Bill 2, Bud, who lives in a trailer. It reminds me of that scene where he's making margaritas for himself, and he's just like firing ice cubes from across the room, and he's so happy with himself. Amber is Bud in this situation. It's fantastic.
So Rayan asks when dinner is. She's particularly hungry because she missed lunch to see Ms. K. And Amber obviously does not give a shit, doesn't even remember that this is a thing, or that dinner is a thing. She suggests some frozen crap that's in the freezer. Rayan gets very upset that she never gets a real meal like normal kids. And Amber, in response, somewhat rightly assesses that this outburst is really about something else.
Yeah.
And Rayan admits to Amber that Angela ditched her today.
Yeah, it must be about something else, because ain't nothing wrong with a frozen dinner.
Yeah.
When she looked in
not
that...
Not just a frozen dinner, just appetizers from the freezer.
When she looked at that food in the freezer, and you could tell it was implied that this is a shitty meal, I felt so judged.
Listen, give me a mini quiche from M&M's any time of the day, but I still want a true dinner at some point, especially if I was a 15-year-old, I would think at some point. Like, you'd have to imagine, to the point where she was complaining as a teenager about not wanting, like, fast food or junk food, the amount of times that she must just have shit to eat must just be an insane amount of time.
Alan's sitting there watching the show, I'm stupid. I eat that, it's fine. I hate this show.
That is dinner, asshole.
Quiches are ready.
Asshole.
Like, I think, you know, Rayan, for the most part, doesn't mind having sort of an unconventional life. or at least she doesn't complain about it to Amber. So this outburst from her is unusual. And so I think Amber kind of deduces that there's probably more going on. You know, this is the symptom, not the cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
You've never complained before.
Did we get to the star of the show yet? The star of the fridge?
Nowhere.
Chinese food box. Yeah. Back again, shoving it in Ted's face. Going, no, you never had this. I'm like, ah. Of course, well, how old is that?
Amber thinks Rayanne must have done something to make Angela mad at her. And she advises that Rayanne should try to insert herself into Angela and Jordan's lives and get to know his friends. And in her own sort of Amber way, she does make Rayanne feel better. She finds some leftover Chinese food in the fridge, some butterfly shrimp. And she tells Rayanne that Angela is a special kind of friend that she needs to hold on to. So we cut to Jordan's car. He is still talking about Tino.
Uh-huh. Old Boston's coconut.
Mm-hmm. And Angela is doing a good job trying to act like she is super interested. It's like days now that they've been talking about Tino incessantly. Rayanne, taking Amber's advice, jumps into the back of Jordan's car. She's pretending that she's totally fine with Angela ditching her the day before. She jokes about chugging a six-pack. It comes up that Angela, she tells her that the Tino-less band has a gig lined up next week, but they need to get a new singer.
Yeah, so they're playing open night at Vertigo, which I guess is a coffee house, is my guess. When Jordan and Angela are one-on-one in the car talking, Jordan is talking about how it's frustrating that you always have to wonder what somebody else is thinking. And it's very clear, right? He's frustrated with what Angela is frustrated with him over. Also, we haven't really acknowledged the fact that it is a super fucking dick move that Angela had her friend go over to her house and then didn't show up.
We didn't talk about that. She never showed up.
Yeah, that's a fucking jerk move, right?
Now, sorry, maybe I missed it. Did we ever, where did she go? Where do we think she went?
She was hanging out with Jordan.
So this is all happening at the same time?
Well, this happened the day before she's like, Rayanne, meet me at my place. So they don't go to her place together, which is what you would assume they did. Rayanne went to Angela's place on her own. Graham greeted her. She was like, Angela's going to be here. And then Angela never showed up. That's awkward as shit, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, Amber in the last scene, it's like, oh, she's a really special kind of friend. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know. Is she? I guess we're going to find out.
And the other part is there's no mention of it the next day from Angela to Jordan until Rayanne shows up. But, you can only imagine fucking Patty with Angela when Angela got home. And the shittiest thing is that in this case, Patty would be right. To be on her case? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and so proud that she
Patty probably didn't even remember Angela was supposed to be there. She was so concerned that Rayanne still hasn't thanked her. She was so far up her own ass, she probably didn't even realize.
I think what happened is that Angela arrives home and Patty was like, well, blah, 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 Rayanne was here. No, 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 no. And Angela was just like, oh, I thought she said that she, wasn't going to. And then Patty just blamed Rayanne for being flaky, even though it was drunk. Angela.
Yeah.
For real. Because that's exactly what happens when Rayanne gets into the car. And Angela's just like, oh, I thought you said you, weren't going to. And it's like, well, that didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
Friendship.
But yes, Jordan is not having the Rayanne energy that has entered the car, and he kicks them both out of his car.
He reminds me of the scene in RoboCop where the bad guy gets I forget what he gets confronted with, but he's got a couple of women in the hotel room with him, and he's like, bitches leave, and that's that's Jordan in this scene.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then in the hall, Rayanne decides that she should be the band's new singer. And Angela is less than enthusiastic about this idea. Rayanne says they will have such time, which I noticed that this harkens back to sort of the first episode, at the end of the first episode when they go out and they try to get into the club and it's a disaster and all that stuff. And then at school the next day, Rayanne is like, we had a time. Didn't we have a time? Mm-hmm. And Angela's just like, yeah. And like, they're telling everybody about it. And like, Angela is 100% on board. So I kind of noticed that like, Rayanne is the same energy in this. She's wants them to have a time. But now Angela seems embarrassed by it, by enthralled with it.
I can see Angela's perspective here too, right? Like, when you first meet somebody like Rayanne, who's just all energy, all enthusiasm, it can be exciting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you're like, oh, they're an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, or they're whatever, like, whatever is happening. And, or... another thing could just be like, oh, it never stops. Like, it's always 110 miles an hour. Yeah.
This is real life.
Yeah.
Real life is all highs all the time.
Yeah. And eventually it's just, it wears on people, right? So I could totally see, I could see her perspective too. I still think she's being shitty, but.
I very much got the idea that sort of the luster has worn off for her of Rayanne. And I was reminded a little bit of like that Friends episode where Fun Bobby stops drinking.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like the worst and nobody likes him anymore. Rayanne begs Angela to present the idea of her being the singer to Jordan, and Angela very reluctantly agrees, somewhat noncommittally.
Yes.
Back at the Chases, there is a mad scramble for a ringing phone, landlines.
Yeah.
This still gives me a little bit of anxiety because I think it was last episode or a couple episodes ago, there was a ringing phone and nobody was getting it. And I felt it building in me going, somebody answered phone. It's the house line. Like before, when there was only house lines, I'm harking back to those days of like, because I remember a phone ringing and somebody in the house going, will somebody get the phone?
Oh, I was just going to say, in my house, my brother and I would just look at each other and not get up and get the phone till we got yelled at, or my mom would scoff and come out of some room and get the phone. We're like, well, it's not for us anyway.
Like, a lot of the sort of things that happen in this episode could not happen now because everyone has their own cell phones, right? Yeah. Like, landlines were very different. Like, particularly people listening in on your calls and having to, like, cover the mouthpiece and be like, hang up!
Yeah.
Welcome to... Yeah. Oh, this was as well going. Are they hang up! I can hear it in the background. It's hung up. No, it's not. Somebody's still on the phone.
Yeah.
Or like my brother and I would do to each other, pick up the phone and start hitting the numbers on it on another line.
Oh, to make a call? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we'll just hear the bam, bam, bam. Oh, get off the phone. Stop it.
Mom, I'm on the phone. Mom. And then that graduated into you needed to fucking use the phone line to be on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That was my next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love internet.
I remember with the modem, you know, the first time that we had internet and, you know, at the very start of going onto the internet, some of the service providers would only have a limited number of spots, right? So they might have 200 spots for a phone to connect to the internet. And after that, if you called, it was just busy until there was a spot open.
I forgot about that. So
you
like,
know what?
Even if the phone line was free.
Until you said that, Alan, I always kind of wondered, maybe that's why sometimes we couldn't connect.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, because there was limited spots. And so in like prime time hours from like, you know, 6 till 10 in the evening, it could be hard as shit to get on the internet. So then you get on the internet.
Oh,
and once you're on, you're on. The only thing that can knock you off is if some motherfucker in your house gets a phone call. And so so you'd be on the internet and you could hear, like, you could hear the moment where the internet disconnects before the phone's about to ring and your heart just sinks. Yeah. And like this
wouldn't happen with us. You'd get a busy signal if someone called, but what would get us, kick us off the internet is my dad saying, get off the internet.
Yes. There's
okay,
also
that. Works just as well. You're right. Sorry. Yeah.
And like this situation, at least in my house, likely only was a reality for about a year. because then I moved to the University of Winnipeg internet, and that shit was pretty much like, you know, automatic to get on. But even in that 1 year, like that, the trouble of the internet never escaped my memory.
One of the most exciting Christmas presents that I ever got was my own phone number. Landline.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fancy.
Your own phone number?
Yeah. Holy I had my own phone in my room, my own number. And
my own phone number. The cane cakes on a plate. Holy Arlo.
Yeah, I think I was about 14 or 15. It was probably, honestly, as much of a gift for like my dad as it was for me, just to like stop me from monopolizing the phone constantly so he could also go on the internet whenever he wanted, right? But yeah. So yes, there's a mad scramble for the landline. We find out that apparently Danielle has a boyfriend, or at least she did, because now they're keeping it loose.
Yes.
Patty is complaining that she never sees Angela anymore. Patty and Graham are harassing Angela about who she's spending time with, because, of course, it's Patty. And they discuss whether or not Rayanne is still seeing a counselor. Jordan comes to give Angela a ride to school, and Patty harasses her about if she's ever going to get to meet him. And Angela says that Graham did, but it doesn't matter anyway since they broke up.
Yeah, and when you say he came to pick her up, he is honking the car horn outside for her to move her ass.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. With Patty, Patty's like losing control of the situation, but that's a normal thing because they're gaining independence. Like her kids are gaining independence. Yeah, yeah. So she, I think, has a warped version of connection, but she just wants that kind of, she wants to get that control back. So she starts snooping at this point and like sticking her nose into things, which is the theme for the rest of the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, my daughter on this, in this skating team she's on, she's, it's a lot of like 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. And my daughter's only 9. And so they have this group chat. So we let Emma go on this group chat because they do talk about certain things like that they need to bring and stuff like that. But luckily, my daughter's not big into the chatting stuff yet online, which is great. And she's still okay with my wife or I sitting there and looking through the messages because she doesn't really care. She doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to get in trouble because she's very much a rule follower. But I'm just waiting for the day when that she starts to do like talking back to them and being part of the conversations and sneaking away, because right now it's like gravy because we know everything that's going on. She doesn't want to get involved, but I can just wait until some of those gloves have to come off and let her do those kinds of things, because you just never know what's going to,
what otherwise those, she's going to end up in a hotel room with some guy in a small pizza.
Well, exactly. And I'm going to have to go get the principal or the teacher
from
school to kick a door down.
You take some tips from Patty here. She's good. She's doing good.
Yeah, she starts him young. She starts trying to harass Danielle now about Ryan, her ex-boyfriend. And Danielle also blows Patty off.
I think it's inevitable.
In Jordan's car, he is still talking about Tino.
Except at this point, he's less mad and he's super heartbroken. He's
going through the different stages of grief right now.
Yeah, he's like, there was a big, big hole where Tino used to be in the front of the band.
Angela, very low-key, non-committally floats the idea of Rayanne being the singer, but that's probably a really stupid idea. Jordan is incredulous about this idea.
Yeah.
Not even on the table.
Girls sing? Yeah.
Uh-huh. In the hall, Rayanne asked Ricky.
You know who used to sing? Tino.
In the hall, Rayanne asked Ricky if he's heard anything about her being in the band. And Ricky tries to gently bring up the possibility that they won't want her in the band. Rayanne thinks that her cuteness, her singing voice, and her exhibitionism would be perfect. And Ricky is very delicately trying to let her down easy. And he's worried that being rejected could affect her sobriety, clearly. Brian overhears this after Rayanne takes off. And he asks what Rayanne did. And Ricky says she hasn't done anything yet, but in the past, when she's been excited about something like this, it hasn't ended very well.
Yeah, and we start to get the sense as the episode goes on that this is really starting to bug Ricky, as he's starting to have reactions to it.
Sharon finds Rianne singing to herself in the bathroom, and she compliments her voice. Rianne pretends that she doesn't care, but then she clearly does care because she asks if Sharon thinks she's good enough to sing, like, in front of people. And Sharon suggests that she should change the way that she dresses.
Which is weird.
Well, was she supposed to dress like Sharon?
More like, well, floral kind of patterns, you would think. She
has, like, a... I think you could go for some more embroidered vests, possibly. That's what the and Sharon says, that's what the kids are into these days. And Rayanne's like, you're a kid. What the hell?
Like, Rayanne looks more like a fucking singer than Sharon.
Yeah.
Sharon should be like, you should dress up like Hootie, you know, from the Blowfish.
From the Blowfish.
Yeah.
Rayanne sort of tries to run the Angela situation by Sharon ambiguously, wondering why Angela wouldn't be more enthusiastic, hypothetically speaking, if she was a person. And as Rayanne is sort of saying this out loud, she realizes that Angela is probably worried that Rayanne is going to make a fool of herself. We cut to a Frozen Embryos, or the band formerly known as Frozen Embryos, practice. Rianne kind of sneaks in the back. It is not going well. Everyone is just fighting.
Yeah, if you ever,
absent.
If you ever wanted to look in the room back in 1982 when the police were recording Synchronicity, this is the situation. The drummer and the bassist just fighting, like, nonstop. Lots of man and dude. Jordan's like, we aren't even a band anymore. We don't even have a name. Yeah, so.
They don't even notice that Rayanne is there at first. They're too busy fighting. Ralph and Joey are the names of the bassist and the drummer. I don't actually know which is which. There's no pictures or anything on IMDb. I was assuming that the drummer is Ralph. Because his only other credit is Baywatch.
Ooh.
And he seemed more like Baywatchy than the other guy. And
yeah,
I thought you were going to say drummer.
I could see.
My assumption is Joey is the other guy because his credits include Pizza Guy on Full House.
Yes.
And Paint Huffer, a TV movie called Revenant.
Checks
so I could be totally wrong, but it seemed like maybe that was their typecast.
That's really nice. Like, would be, I could see one of you running slow motion down the beach, and the other one, yeah. I could see you huffing paint.
Yes.
Cool. Sorry, correct. Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But anyway, once they notice Rayanne, Jordan calls Angela at home to tell her that Rayanne showed up at practice. We get the situation where Danielle is listening in, and Angela's yelling at her to hang up. And Patty takes the phone from Danielle, telling her to respect Angela's privacy, and then listens in herself.
Oh, fuck you.
There's points in this episode where I feel like I'm watching a sitcom and not like a scripted drama, sort of family drama kind of thing. Like, some of these things they're doing are like pure sitcom tropes.
Jordan says that Rayanne's acting like she's high, and that she's coming on to the drummer. Angela throws Rayanne under the bus, says she has nothing to do with Rayanne inviting herself there. Jordan mentions that they're all just sitting around drinking beer. But we do see Rayanne refusing a drink when she's offered one. And Graham catches Patty eavesdropping.
Sherlock's putting the clues together.
Angela tries to keep Jordan on the phone. She's chattering that this is the first time he's called her, but Jordan isn't having it. He has other bigger fish to fry here. Needs to figure out that band stuff. Graham chastises Patty for listening in, but he is pretty amused by it as well.
Yeah, and then he teases her about not having met Jordan again.
Graham is so proud to have met
him. He's like, me and Jordan are best friends.
It's like the only thing he has to lord over Patty.
Yeah. Jordan's going to work in the restaurant too.
I would have made the
restaurant band.
We're going to name the restaurant Catalanos.
But Patty says it's the only way that she could find out what's going on in Angela's life. She makes some assumptions about Rayanne based on what she heard on the phone. She's worried about Rayanne. She wants to talk to Amber.
She makes one assumption, not some assumption. She makes one assumption.
Yeah.
Yes. She wants to talk to Amber about it, but she admits that she thinks that's crossing a line. But then later in bed, she's still fretting about it.
Fret.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Ooh, the Patty method.
Yeah, she wakes up Graham and starts lamenting that you can't speak to other parents honestly about their children. And Graham points out that no one wants to be accused of not being a good parent.
Oh, wait.
Patty's like, I will take that advice and not confront anybody.
You're right, Graham. Yeah. That's what I should do.
Yeah.
What Patty actually does is she questions that you could tell somebody that they're a little concerned about their child. And Graham points out that she wouldn't take that kind of conversation very well. Patty agrees that it would be a mistake. Mm-hmm. And then naturally, she suggests fucking.
Yeah.
Like, this is me talking about meddling with other people's children. Does that get you hard, Graham?
Doesn't she say, do you want to make love?
She does.
Ugh.
And, like, these two have been married for a long time. I'm not sure that's the way they're talking.
I think that that's, you can't say, do you want to, like, fucking diddle my fart box on NBC or on ABC at the
early 1990s, I guess.
Yeah. Also, when you earlier said that this feels very sitcom-y, this is another very sitcom-y situation because it's them constantly thinking that they're going to go to sleep and then one of them continuing the conversation and keeping things up. There's like each side of them turning on their nightlight and turning it off. It's, you know, it's very sitcom-y here.
It's like you're waiting to hear when he says to Patty that, well, you wouldn't like it if someone said that to you. You'd hear the can going, ooh. Yeah.
And then when Patty's like, do you want to make love? Ooh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever used that term in my entire life.
You want to do it now? You can go ahead and say it.
Yeah,
no,
do it.
I don't think I can. I don't,
opportunity.
Like, I think if I was in a show and that was my line, like I was acting in a show, I don't think I'd be able to, like, I can't, how do you make that sound natural? I don't understand. Nobody says that. Did people really used to say that?
Arlo needs a rewrite.
I need a rewrite.
Actually, Arlo, I was going to cast you for my new play. It's called Arlo Makes Love. Would you?
Yeah.
Making love.
It feels like a made up term that they invented for television. You know, like the Newlywed Game, you know, they had just invented making whoopee because they couldn't say anything else on the air. You know, like that's completely what it sounds like. It makes my skin crawl. Was this an accepted term amongst
guys
at one time?
I'm looking it up because you earlier you looked up Off the Wagon.
Yeah, well, I should have looked this up, obviously.
Yeah, right.
What do you got, Google?
Alan's got a bookmark in synonyms for sex in his browser. He's like, click.
He's like, whoops,
I knew this would come in handy.
Not that page.
Yeah, this page.
Oh, I don't want to be a member.
Yeah, keep going. I'll try to see if I can find something.
All right. Okay. So at school, Angela throws Rayanne under the bus again. Tells Jordan again that she had no idea Rayanne was going to crash the practice. She doesn't want him to feel pressured to let her into the band, and Jordan is dismayed to announce to Angela that Rayanne is in the band because she and Ralph the drummer are now canoodling. And
now umming, as we learned.
Yes, perhaps umming. They're making...
Say it. Come on, say it. You can do it.
I can't.
She like sort of like vomiting as she's saying it.
Yeah. Jordan is not happy about this, but we see that Rayanne is thrilled about it, and Angela seems super not on board.
The drummer is wearing a Rolling Stone shirt. Of course, this was the era of Voodoo Lounge, so I don't know if it's a new Rolling Stone shirt or like a vintage shirt. Not that I'm into that kind of stuff, but I did notice it. The big old lips logo. So he's probably got some decent musical taste. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I just noticed. I go, yeah, he's okay. He's probably all right. He's got a short haircut. He's good. He's not one of them long-haired hippies.
What I've learned so far is the original term for making love was basically, yeah, just like to canoodle a little bit. And it's been around for centuries, but it kind of pivoted to being, another way of saying to fuck. In the 1920s, I'm not seeing why yet, but they're basically talking about like going back and looking at old dictionary references. So
there you go. This is like when we learned that from Arlo that the whoopee cushion was once called a fart bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real Bronx cheer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That was also Alan's nickname in high school.
I mean, guilty as charged.
Yeah. I'm sure we've made something like that joke before. Anyway, it's classic. Classic. I think we're gonna leave it here, actually.
Ooh. So many mysteries.
Okay. It's okay. Oh, make love. Say.
Well, this is where just they cut out to this to the my so-called life sort of thing.
Yes, this is the natural halfway point of the show. So I think we're gonna cut out here and save the next part for the next time we make love.
Oh. Yeah, she did it.
Bow, bow, bow,
bow. You heard it here first. So.
She did it.
She did it. She's not a make love virgin thing anymore. Hooray. Hurrah.
Huzzah!
Hip it, hurrah.
All right. Does anyone have any thoughts about this first half here?
I love the band fight. I love the band fight. They're like, why yada, I'm going to come over there and wrap my bass around your neck. What are you looking at me for, Palo? I'll take you outside. I'll throw you off the wharf. And they're really like, and Jordan's like, oh, guys, it's very Abbott and Costello, Three Stooges type thing.
Yeah, like you'd have to imagine this is kind of how a lot of band practices went for most high school bands.
And the police.
Yes, the police for sure.
Didn't Stuart Copeland was it Stuart Copeland and Sting were in a racket? They were in a fight.
Yeah.
They were the ones who were.
And apparently, like nowadays, Stuart Copeland, when interviewed, would say like, "Oh, me and Sting like get along well enough, except when we're making music." I was like, "So the one thing you shouldn't be doing together is the one thing you were most successful at."
Are you thinking a bubble bath together? Like,
yeah.
Supposedly, Stuart Copeland used to have "fuck you" on the bottom of his cymbals. So whenever he hit the cymbals, like Sting was right there, so he could see it right in his face.
They apparently like physically fought.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great.
Both are a lot, I think, from interviews.
Yeah.
I mean, Sting is Sting, but Stuart Copeland I think he's a fantastic drummer, one of the best, but I'd say he's a lot.
Uh-huh.
Any of you guys, on a side note with Sting, watch Murders in the Building at all? The show?
I haven't checked it out yet.
It's really worthwhile because it's based all around the fact that these people are creating a podcast, funny enough, about this murder. But Sting's just randomly in it for a few episodes.
Story so, checks out.
It's good.
It's actually worth it. Half hour episode, so you can power through it really quickly. It's very, very good show.
I don't know, like I got the impression during like Sting's sort of later, like some of his later stuff, his sort of, you know, his tantric sex era or whatnot, that he's like a humorless person. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't think I'd want to be in a band with
him. You're saying that the guy who wrote King of Pain is humorless?
Yeah. How dare you?
I'm just glad.
Stop making assumptions.
I love the police, but I'm so glad that they lasted 6 years and that was it, because guaranteed that their music, if they were putting out new music to this day, would be shit.
Oh.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of like my so-called life, eh?
Yes. Yeah. Just have a short run and then just have everybody ask what if, and it's fine.
Yeah. Better to burn out than to fade away.
Yep.
Yeah. Go out on top. Oh, make love.
Said in the suicide note of Kurt Cobain.
Oh, another high note we're ending on.
I mean, they would have also been making shit music today. Absolute fucking garbage. No doubt. I wish the guy hadn't committed suicide, though. Like, don't get me wrong. It's like, oh, there's a bright side to a suicide. But no, I'd rather have.
Yeah.
They would have been as bad as the band formerly known as Frozen Embryos. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. We will be back next time with part two of this episode. And things are going to get dramatic. I think. I'm Arlo. You can find me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Alan?
Slip with Five Eyes or Slip. And you can check out the podcast on Instagram at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast. On Twitter at Narbos Podcast. Narbos and Broomheads at gmail.com if you want to make love to us with your words.
Oh, no.
Send us a
I
note.
I almost did a legit spit take.
Pass it over to Tim.
Folly T here. Teddy?
Hey, I'm Ted. Say one, three. I almost forgot what to say. I was adjusting my hat. I'm Ted at Say One, Three on Instagram Machine. Back to
all right. Home. Well, that's it, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace out.
Later.
Baby, my baby. That's all I ever hear is bye.
Well, I just said I was going to my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cup just to get the car my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh, yeah, oh.